So I know it's been a while. We've had this lesson. My life has been crazy. In fact, today, I had a doctor's appointment in Canandaigua. And you know, it's funny how the Lord brings this stuff out, like at just the right timing and everything. Is we're looking for wisdom, and you know, with our new insurance and everything, and you know, my flesh cries out and goes, "Lord, I want it this way." But, you know, he's God, and he knows what doctors we should be with and all of that, and he works all that out, and it's okay. But it was funny because I was supposed to have two doctor's appointments today in Canandaigua, and one, when I asked them to schedule, I gave them specific time frames that I needed these. Well, when they scheduled them, they scheduled one at 10:45. And the second one is at 11:05. And so I'm like, okay, that is really crunched together. But I think knowing the time frame of the first, and they usually get you right in and you're out, I probably could have gotten to the second one. Well, when my reminder call came, they were like, "Well, we'll see you at 11 on Tuesday or Monday." And I was like, 11? My paper says 10:45. And they're like, "Well, we had to adjust things. It's at 11. I'm like, "I have a doctor's appointment across the street at 11:05 they're like, "Well, that's not going to work." I'm like, "And since I have to choose between the two, I know the second appointment I won't get in for a year." Kind of joking about that. And she was like, "You're right, you won't get in to see her for quite some time. So we'll cancel this one." Well, they pushed it out to Monday the 28th. So now I have to go back into Canandaigua next Monday for this other appointment. So I drive in the almost 2 hours for my doctor's appointment today. And I get there, and I'm like, "I'm Karen White. I have an appointment at 11:05. And they're like, "What's your birthday?" And so I told them my birthday, and they were like, "We don't have you in our schedule today." I'm like, "That's not funny. I see. I have this card. I have this paper. They both say I'm in here at 11:05 today." They're like, "You're not in our system. Why don't you go down to the office and check in there?" So I get down there. I'm like, "I'm Karen White. I have an appointment at 11:05. And they're like, "Oh, we canceled that appointment." I'm like, "You canceled that appointment?" They're like, "Yeah. Didn't you get a call?" I'm like, "Would I be here if I got a call?" And they were like, "Oh, we're sorry. You should have gotten a call." I'm like, "I drove in 2 hours for this today. Like, I don't have 4 hours just to give up today for nothing." And they were like, "Well, we can reschedule you with a nurse practitioner." I'm like, "I don't want to see a nurse practitioner. I'd like to see her." And they were like, "Well, we could put you in on one of her on-call days." They're like, "But you could drive in 2 hours and she could be on call and at the hospital all day, and we'd have to send you home." I'm like, "Okay, what's her next available appointment?" "We'll schedule you for her next available appointment. It's May 18th. So I was not kidding when I said it would be like a year from now. So I'm like, "Okay, Lord, wisdom here." But that really doesn't have a whole lot to do with this lesson. But we always get to these Mondays and go, "You know what? It's a Monday. It's a Monday."
Did you go back to the other appointment that you canceled?
I couldn't, because once you cancel those appointments, they go... And, you know, they put somebody else into those appointments. So it was like, so crazy. Yeah, so. Yeah, so that was my day. 4 hours of travel for, we canceled your appointment on you and didn't call you. Like, thank you. But anyways, two kinds of wisdom. The world's wisdom sometimes doesn't work, like today. You should have gotten a phone call. Okay, well, I didn't. Somewhere, something got mixed up. But we looked at two specific kinds of wisdom as we looked at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. This was follow-up verses to all that it had to say about our tongue. And when we looked at our tongue over the past two studies, we saw that our tongue and what's coming off of our tongue is evidence of what's going on in our heart. What's going on in our heart is usually seen by our conduct. And these verses just confirm that. So we're going to read through verses 13 to 18 of James chapter 3. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And so as we look closely at these verses, we see that there are two kinds of wisdom that are brought out. There's worldly wisdom and there's godly wisdom. And they are evidenced by our conduct. In verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct." So he's saying, if you think you're wise and you have understanding, it's going to show by the fruit that's coming out of your life. It's going to show in your conduct. And two of those evidences are, or the first evidence of that in verse 13 is meekness. This meekness, a lot of people think when they hear about being meek, they think that it's weakness, but it is not. It is gentleness. When we look at this, it's not saying, well, I know more than you, I know better than you. It's gentle. When we have wisdom, we use it gently. And then if we skip down to verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above," so this is wisdom that comes from above. We know that this is godly wisdom. It says, first of all, it's pure. There's no wrong motive behind it. There's no selfish motive behind it. There's no pride behind it. It's pure. There's nothing in it that shouldn't belong there. And then these other things follow. So if you have pure wisdom, if you have godly wisdom, it's pure. And then the rest of these should be evident in your conduct as well. That it's peaceable. It's not argumentative. It's not going to go round and round in circles with you. We have to be right. We may be right, but we don't always have to argue a point to prove that we're right. Sometimes wisdom says, okay, you're right, but let it go, because it's peaceable. There are some arguments that you're never going to win. You're just going to go round and round with that person, and you're going to build up a wall, and it's going to be worse than if you just let it go. So it's peaceable. Again, it says gentle here. It's not harsh. It's not, I'm going to shove it down your throat. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. Again, you may be right. You may know the truth, and it may be right for that person, but you're willing to yield because you know if you just keep bringing it and bringing it and bringing it, that it's going to put up that barrier to the Lord. It's full of mercy. You know that they're making a mistake. You know they're not walking the way that they should be walking, but it's full of mercy. And good fruits. It couples those together. Mercy and good fruits are put together. And we know that fruit comes by having the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. So it's not saying one thing and doing another. It's having them both line up. Your walk lines up with your talk. And again, without partiality. Not looking at how the person dresses or who they are. But knowing that it's somebody that God created and God loves them and desires that none should perish, and so we have something for them, but we need to present it gently and kindly, and without hypocrisy. And that's godly wisdom, evidenced by our conduct. There's a couple other scriptures that our study brought out that are good to look at what godly wisdom will look like, especially on a woman. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. This probably sounds familiar to what Pastor Fred spoke on, though that was coming out of Ephesians. But that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. So it's saying right here, you know what? Perhaps your husband isn't living up to your expectations. Perhaps isn't living up to God's expectations of what a husband should be doing. But God's word says to be submissive to your own husband. Pastor Fred spoke about why it's to your own husband on Sunday, because he's the one that God has joined you to, and it's not somebody else's husband that he's joined you to, but he has put your husband head over your family. And so as long as he's not asking you to sin, you're to submit to what God is pouring into him and what he's advising for your family. It's for your own family. And it says that even if they do not obey the word, so perhaps they're not living up to what you, like I said, what you your expectations are, and perhaps not even to God's expectation. So they're not obeying the word. But without a word, without you saying anything, if you are walking in godly wisdom, it says your conduct will win them over. So are you walking in God's ways? Are you fulfilling the role of a wife that you should be fulfilling? Then your conduct will be speaking to your husband if they're not obeying God's word, because our words will often again put up those walls and those barriers, but the conduct, the godly conduct, living according to God's ways without a word can win people over. And why? Verse 2, when they observed your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And this isn't I'm afraid of my husband fear. This is reverence of the Lord. And then it talks about don't let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, the gold, the putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Again, it's speaking of that meekness, not weakness. You know, not when we look at that word submissive, Pastor Fred talked about this yesterday, not being the husband squashing the wife, you know, submission isn't, you know, being subject to your husband, but it's, you know, walking under his leadership. And there's a difference there. But we need to be walking in meekness, that gentle and quiet spirit. And what does it say? Which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. The Lord considers that very precious. And going back to verse 1, it speaks volumes. It speaks more than our words, which often can become nagging. And as we looked at last time, we talked about that drip, drip, drip. Our husbands would rather sit in the corner of the housetop than to be around all of our nagging. And so our conduct, walking in the Lord's ways, being adorned beautifully inside, is what's going to speak louder than our words. And again, our conduct will show that we're walking in godly wisdom. Titus chapter 2. beginning in verse 3. The older woman likewise, and this doesn't necessarily mean the age of the woman, this is talking about maturity in Christ, that they be reverent in behavior. Is your behavior respectful? If you are walking according to godly wisdom, your conduct should be reverent. You know, it should be conduct that pleases the Lord. Not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women. So we're an example to those who are not as mature in the Lord. Doesn't, again, not our age necessarily, though it can be that way as well. Admonishing the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. And here comes some of this conduct that should be coming out of our lives, out of our mouths, to be discreet. What are you talking about? Are you a gossiper? Are you a backbiter? Are you sharing everybody's business, or are you discreet? If you're walking in godly wisdom, your gate should be closed most of the time. You know, you should be discreet. If you know something about somebody, be careful what you share, how you share it. Have permission to share. You know, remember we talked last time about is it necessary? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it necessary and is it kind? Think about that, you know, to be discreet, to be chaste, homemakers, good. And we know outside of Christ we can't be good. No one is good. But in Christ we can be. Obedient to your own husband, and that's where that submission comes in again. As long as he's not asking you to sin, you know, he is the leader of your home, and you should fall into that order. He is under his leadership. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Because when we step outside of that, that's when we fall into the worldly wisdom and we start not being discreet and perhaps even backbiting our own husbands. You know, maybe you know somebody who is like that and they have nothing good to say about their husband. I know somebody like that and it's awful. I don't know how they even stay together. I don't know how he puts up with it. She does it right to him, but then she does it to all of her friends as well. You know, when you're around and it's like, oh my goodness, that poor man must just, you know, feel like crushed by his wife. We don't want to be like that, you know. But when we're not walking in godly wisdom, our conduct is not going to be godly. And then that's when the word of God, you know, people, outsiders are like, wow, she calls herself a Christian. Why would I want to be one of those, you know? And that's where we can turn things the wrong way, by the way that we're behaving. You know, what is our home like? Is it always a shambles? It feels like mine is most of the time. But when I'm taking 4-hour trips to Canandaigua instead of being home, it's hard to be a homemaker. But, you know, are you a good steward of the things that God's given you? Do you take care of your home? Is your husband glad to come home? You know, there's scriptures that talk about that. Or would he rather be on the housetop, you know? But our conduct should be conduct where others in those less mature could look at us and say, wow, look at how she loves the people she's around. I want to be like that. Or are you the one who's in the grocery store going, you know, and where people are going, wow. You know, we were at the Hope of Christmas one day, and I can't remember who I was sharing with one day. Well, there is only one day for the Hope of Christmas, but up at the park there. It was 2 weekends ago? Last Saturday. And I'm telling you, there was this mother there. She probably had 7 kids. And she was in their face, chewing them up one side and down the other. And everybody was looking at her like, and you knew that this was not unusual conduct. You could just see by the look on her face and everything that she was an angry woman and that these kids took the brunt of it probably day in and day out. Well, then we left there and we went over to Aldi's. I needed a couple of groceries. And well, guess what? She was standing outside the door of Aldi's with these 7 kids chewing them up one side and down the other. So you know that this was a lifestyle. Well, who would want to come home to that? You know, it was just constant. But when people look at us, are they seeing how we love our children? Are they seeing how we love our husbands? Are they seeing how we love each other when they come into this church? Are they, do they feel welcome? Do they feel loved? Do they, you know, or are they like, I don't think I want to be in that church. You know, what is our conduct like? Is it godly or is it what they would see in the world? Is it like this woman? You know, you get enough of that in the world. You don't need it. In the church as well, or in your home. So those are some characteristics of God that should be exhibited if there is godly wisdom coming from our life. But then in James, it talks about earthly wisdom or worldly wisdom. And it's quite a contrast. It says in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So that's quite a contrast to being meek and gentle and peaceable and willing to yield. This is all about me. All about, am I getting my way? It's earth, like it describes it here as earthly, sensual, even says it's demonic, worldly wisdom. And as you look at these characteristics, you see it's bitter envy, it's jealousy. Well, I want what you have, or you shouldn't have that, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's bitter. And we know that anger and unforgiveness lead to roots of bitterness. And then you can just see that pouring out. This woman that we saw that day, there have to be some really deep roots of bitterness in her for this venom that was pouring out of her onto her kids. But you could just see it in her conduct. And it was probably because her kids were, I mean, they're at this Hope of Christmas. There's presents everywhere. There's candy canes. There's sugar. And her kids were probably very excited. But she was all over them. But she was maybe either embarrassed or tired or what. But it was coming out, you know, in nasty ways. But it was about her. And you could tell that, you know, it wasn't necessarily, I mean, the kids were all just standing there. It didn't even look like they were doing anything. So it was, something wasn't pleasing her. And so she was jumping all over them. And so it says it's self-seeking in your heart. But when you look at the world, at worldly wisdom, you know, it's deceitful. It's prideful. It's coupled with, it says in verse 16, confusion. It doesn't bring peace, but it usually you're like, I don't know what to do, you know, and you're back and forth and you're not sleeping and, you know, your thoughts are going round and round and round. And that's what the worldly wisdom brings. You know, there's no settling to it. It's just always jumbled around. And why? It says because every evil thing is there, you know. What does worldly wisdom say? You can be a self-made man. You can, you know, put this stuff on and you'll look amazing. And if you're happy, you know, if you change your circumstance or your situation, you'll be happy. You know, move to this different house. Move to, you know, take this other job and be happy. But you know what? That circumstance isn't what is going to make you happy, isn't what's going to make you content. It's not necessarily that placement change. It's got to be a heart change. that brings contentment and brings peace. Where is your wisdom coming from? Is it coming from the world? Is the world guiding you and leading you? Because if the world is, it's going to tell you to do what satisfies you. Please yourself. Be happy. You know, where godly wisdom is going to say, your contentment is in me. It's not in your circumstance, because what did Paul say? I've learned to be rich. I've learned to be abased. I've, you know, learned all of these different things, both sides of the spectrum. And I've learned to be content at both of them. And why? Because I'm in Christ. And so godly wisdom takes your focus off of you, puts it on him, and puts it on others. Worldly wisdom says, forget about the others, and puts all your focus on you. And it usually leads to confusion and chaos and bitterness and envy, pride. And if we look at what godly wisdom says, it's without partiality. Usually when you're walking in worldly wisdom, you are going to show partiality. There's going to be favoritism because that person has something to offer you. Or you're going to look at some people and you're going to go, well, I want nothing to do with them, where God would have you probably reaching out to that person. You know, so usually God's wisdom and worldly wisdom are two complete opposite ends of the spectrum. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7. Says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So here you see those two opposites. Worldly wisdom would tell you to sow to the flesh. Well, guess what? You're going to reap to the flesh. Godly wisdom would say, sow to the Spirit, and you're going to reap at least eternal life. But there's going to be benefits here as well. We want godly wisdom. And so if that's what we want, and we don't want this part of the earthly, sensual, demonic side of wisdom, how do we attain the wisdom that we need? It comes only through God and his word. So I just want to look at a couple verses there. And Psalm 19, verse 7. Why did that go to Genesis? I don't know. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So God's word is perfect. It has everything it needs to convert a soul. Any wisdom we need, anything we need to say to somebody can be found in God's word for converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's true. We can trust it. We don't have to doubt it. It's sure. And why? Making wise the simple. We can find wisdom in his word. So if you need wisdom, you're lacking wisdom, turn to his word. Proverbs chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Remember last time we talked about how God's word should be our treasure. So that you incline your ear to wisdom. We need to be listening for it. When we read God's word, expect to hear from God. Apply it, it says, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Where do we get wisdom from? From the Lord himself. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright.
He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. The benefits of godly wisdom are discretion, because when we are not discreet, we're not preserved. You know, people will look at us and it's just not good. You know, when you make a mistake or whatever, it's like it comes down on you and it's hard. You can say you're sorry, you know, but you can't take it back. It's there. But it says discretion will preserve you. If we're discreet, if we're careful, walking in God's wisdom, it's preservation to us. Understanding will keep you. So we need to go to the Lord for wisdom, for that discretion and understanding that we need. Proverbs chapter 4, just a couple chapters over. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Again, this preservation, love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So it says here that wisdom is the first thing we should be going after. It's a priority. And why? Because it preserves us. Because when we're not walking in godly wisdom and we're walking in worldly wisdom, it's going to bring us into situations we shouldn't be in. And then we're setting ourselves up for trouble. And we're going to not, if we're not in his word, we're not following after wisdom, that's when all of a sudden we're like, we'll wake up someday and go, how did I get here? You know, when I was so close to the Lord. While we take our eyes off of him, we get out of his word, we're not, wisdom doesn't become the principal thing, number one thing anymore. We start walking in worldly wisdom. Yeah, that guy will make you feel good, or that, you know, book you're reading is going to give you wisdom or guidance or whatever paths we find ourselves on. And like I said, we wake up one day going, what happened? You know, why am I here? It's because we walked away from his wisdom, from godly wisdom. The book we're studying, James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So are you not sure of what to do in a situation? Ask God. He's not going to say, no way, I'm not going to lead and guide you. Ask him. He's going to guide you. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need. So wisdom can be attained by God's word, through his Holy Spirit, and by the Lord himself. And in closing, and this was on the back of our worksheet, day 6, at the very bottom, I really like this, Proverbs 24, verse 3. And this was reading out of the Amplified Version, but it says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, and then in parentheses it says, a life, a home, a family built. So through skillful and godly wisdom is a house built. And it said that that house is a life, a home, a family. And by understanding is it established, and that established was on a sound and good foundation. Do you want to be shored up? Do you want to make sure you're on the right path? Do you want to be peaceable, willing to yield? All of that conduct that comes with godly wisdom that we looked at, full of mercy, gentle, meek, pure. It comes by skillful, godly wisdom, walking in his ways, and being established, staying on that firm foundation and not veering to the right or the left. a good, sound foundation.